Okay, so we're going to talk about your new article, job description for boxers.
Well, the job description bugs, because I have talked about this over and over and over. It's very hard to make clear exactly what I mean, because we're doing something entirely new. We are building and selling MEMS. Now, people didn't know it, but they've done that before. But in our case, it's the word MEM was a new thing, even to graduate students back in the 90s, you know. Mm-hmm. Back in the 90s, 20 years ago, yeah. So this is very different from any, or it has, the thing is, what I'm doing is, I want bugsers to stop being students now. They're going to have to take up their roles and figure out and do what they've got to do. They've got to, and that's why I brought up Robert Townsend, this guy that was the head of Avis, and he wrote a book called Up the Organization, with a certain look on his face on the front. But one of the major points he made that really got to me was, if you need a job description, you're not management. That's what management does. It makes job descriptions for other people. You know, but in the federal government, as I said, we had job descriptions all the way up to the top in the civil service, up to the equivalent of a 3-star general. But now I'm in a completely different mode, because that bill was passed back in 1978, civil service reform, when they got rid of this business of people going up through their own ladder. When you got to a colonel level, then after that, you're training to become a senior executive in the senior executive service. And that meant that you wrote the job descriptions. There were no more job descriptions above GS-15. You were part of the SES, and that is the kind of mentality that I want here. So the mentality of, but I want bugsers to learn that they are now the bugsers. Now, we use that word. You and I know what we mean. Bugser, you're a bugser. And our people out there, I can't remember names, but they are bugsers. They know when they're a bugser. There's no title there. And I like that. Yeah. We don't have to debate it whether somebody's a bugser. We can say whether they're a nut or not. I mean, I personally prefer people who are insane, but they have to. The bugser, it would be impossible to define. Yeah. It's somebody who has found his own place, and if something needs doing, you know who to call. You call another bugser, and you work it out. You don't refer it to Bob. You know, in fact, Bob is, in that case, I think my ADD, memory disorder, is good, because I can't keep up with you. I can't guide you step by step. You have to call each other. Eventually, you'll learn to write your own stuff. That is the one thing that I still seem to be essential for.
Well, bugs are being mantra thinking as well.
Huh?
We define it as being a mantra thinker. It's the way.
Yeah, but you just said we define it as.
Yes.
See,
yeah.
That who came about. And that's very hard to get across to people, that we don't have we have as far away from a leadership system as you can imagine. I mean, I will make decisions in the end if somebody, you know, is making, or somebody calls. They won't call me. The SPLC won't call me, because the words got out. You know, you don't deal with me. But I can teach you how to be that way. Well, if they had wanted to move you up in charge of a more general division, it had to still be inside the printer. And it's very hard to find a chief executive of something. And if they want to appeal it, they'll say, well, I'm a printer and this doesn't have anything. I mean, it just was hideously complicated.
Hmm.
And that's why they formed the SES. At a certain point, you're no longer a printer. You're an executive. It sounds simple, but boy, it was a hell of a thing. They had to pass a special Civil Service Reform Act to do that. But appeals in the federal government, I think most people here know that you can't fire a federal employee. They have so many complications. And so once you've been inside that, you know, you can't, that they had to get rid of this. I mean, it was hard enough to find somebody with qualifications to run something. Then you had to go over and say, well, we're going to use a printer who's reached GS-16, or we're going to use a butter wholesalesman, or what are we going to use, you know? And so they, once they got rid of that, that the whole thing became 1,000% easier. And that's what Townsend meant, because he wrote that book before the Civil Service Reform Act. And he wrote about the fact that there were job descriptions for people making, back then, $100,000 a year. He said, it is incredible that a man making $100,000 a year would have any kind of job description.
A box that says, this is what your job is.
Yeah. And a job description, they go from GS-1 all the way up to, you know, head of division. At that point, if you need a guy, if you need a paragraph to tell you what you're supposed to be, if you're Secretary of the Treasury and there's supposed to be a job description. I ran into that one time when I was working on Capitol Hill. I just did whatever was to be done. That's why I call it senior staff. I couldn't think of another word because I did everything. If the congressman couldn't show up at the committee, he'd send me. He was on two regular committees and on the Internal Security Subcommittee. He was chairman of the, he was ranking member of the Crime Subcommittee, and then he had to be on the floor. So a senior staffer, whatever he couldn't do at that moment, you know, he'd send you in, and they'd still have two meetings that nobody could attend. So I just call myself senior staffer because I did anything. I was supposed, and that was my job, was to learn exactly what he wrote, how he wrote it, how he felt. And then I'd been doing that for about 2 years when he took over the minority staff, all these jobs that he was allowed to point people to, and that's what he had hired me for, because he needed his senior staffer in the committee staff. Am I still clear?
Yep.
Okay. And then the head of his staff, good buddy of mine, that was the lawyer and he ran the staff, he called up John Ashbrook. He said, John, do you realize that Bob Whitaker has three different offices? And John said, no, I did not. He said, you've given him two staffs and, you know, authority in your office. See, the problem was I had been making my own jobs, and they had tried to go by the old way of tracking those jobs, which meant they assigned a staff to each job. And the way I did it, it didn't need all that. You know, it was no longer bureaucratic that way. But he called, you know, John, I mean, he had given me essentially three different staffs. Three different offices, one in an annex, one in the committee area, and in his own office, because I had done my own thing here, and it didn't fit into the pattern, but it got the job done. That's why two or three people, he didn't refill their positions, because I found ways to, you know, to connect these things up and do them. But I couldn't tell you now exactly how I did. Well, that's the same way I want bugs to operate. You know, for example, on the, I like the comments this time about the sign. That the different people said different things. Well, see, I'm not trying to get the debate into a certain area. I just want to bring up a point, and I want them to then think it out, and that's the end of it. It's their job now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to know why the signs were anonymous. I did not say as some commenter said, "Oh, you're just criticizing." You know, no, he said, "You're the one who brought up the Russian Samizdat and so forth." Well, no, what I brought up was, why is it anonymous? Is it because fear? Is it strategy? What is it? And the fellow thought I was being cute. I wasn't being cute. I was asking, what is the reason for this particular these signs being anonymous? Sometimes we're anonymous, sometimes we're not. We're having this media event. Mm-hmm. What do you?
Power talk.
Yeah.
The power talk discussion.
Well, power talk. Yeah, right. But it's open session.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't be more open about it. You know, you can give my phone number. Sometimes you are, and sometimes you aren't. So I wanted to know about the sign, why? You know, but we're so used to battling back and forth that.
Well, the question came about with the seeker of truth saying that, you know, your whole model is anonymous. How you speak about the fact that you don't put your name to anything because people don't touch it when your name is attached to it.
Yes, but that's not true of the rest of you.
That's right. Well, and also there's
so that's
something.
That's why I'm asking why. Is there? You know my reason.
Yeah.
Why I make, now, on the one hand, I'm so public, on the other hand, I'm so private. The mem, I'm private simply because the way people react is that people will say, oh, that's Bob Whitaker's idea, you're nobody, you know, which is pretty embarrassing if you're a professional.
Mm. Yes. Well, the thought that you had with regards to the billboards was to try it. You know, if we have two billboards or we put up another billboard, mm-hmm. next time let's try and use a website, a call to action of where, you know, the message is coming from.
Unless they're actually there. I mean, there is no website or whatever because of fear. I want to know if it's fear. Mm-hmm. Let me know. It's anonymous here.
Yeah.
You know. But you could give, I mean, it's a little late for me to be anonymous. So,
yeah.
You know, they could put bugs up, they could put White Rabbit up, they could put your thing up, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you people decide. But just go with it.
Mm.
You know, answer my question. I asked why. Nobody answered me.
Mm.
That's one of the regular frustrations, that people talk about my question, but they don't answer the question. You have to go back, read the context of the question, and answer the question I asked. You know? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everybody is acting now just the way I want them to. They say, we will go ahead and do this, or we might not do that, or I say we should do this, and when you decide to do it, or you coordinate it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wait. You know, then now we're going to call Central. Robert Central, you know, office or something. No, go do it. That's what I'm training you about. I'm the coach. I'm not the team.
Yeah.
I remember there was back in the old days, at the movie theaters, you had serials that there'd be about 15 of them, and each one would end up with the hero being obviously killed or something, and then the next one you'd start up again with him and he would escape. Do you know what I'm talking about? No. But these were called the serials, and they were short subjects, you know, and continuous, so you'd keep coming back to the theater. Yeah. But one of them, one time, it was a conspiracy from the moon. You know, run from the moon. I mean, the whole play, we were enjoying the thing. The fellow said, I must report to the moon. A real serious voice. They couldn't take that one. I think of that a lot here, you know, Bob Central, I must report to the moon.
Yeah.
But you report to each other.
Yeah.
And you don't propose things, you set up things.
Mm.
And if you want my opinion on them, that's what you get.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, see, that's a very complicated concept. It sounds simple.
Mm.
But you should have seen the problems the Soviets had when they were trying to specify how to produce things. See, in America, you produce things, and if they sell, you keep producing them. But in the Soviet Union, you had to specify what glass was. One of the classic examples of Soviet planning was they wanted to produce glass, which meant that each worker had to be measured on the amount of glass. And sometimes they would put it out in pounds of glass. Well, they got exactly what you expect, glass about 3 inches thick. You know, then they specified otherwise it was too thin. You know, the easy way to do that is put it out on the market. If anybody wants it, they'll take it. But they, you know, they thought, as I said, Lenin said, that economics is Soviet leadership and electricity. He'd never run anything in his entire life, so, you know, it sounded easy to him. I forgot my train of thought, but we have to do that. We have to use something more like a market plan than this intellectual thing where you make out everybody's job description and some people are good and some people are bad and some people are this and so forth. I want an evolution. I want people to try things. And I can warn them. I mean, one thing that a supervisor can do is tell you not to stick your hand in the hot oil, you know. But and you can ask me things like that. But this thing is wide open now. You're doing such, and I want to say they're doing such a good job of taking over. You know, and I love it.
Yep. Yeah, it's finding the things that work, you know, like the...
describe on that what that is.
The Mother's Day card, which you speak about in the article.
I did?
You did, yep. You wrote about it in the article. Mm-hmm. And all those different flyers, that have been produced and, you know, doing the billboards now and Horace's animations. Yeah. You know, we're really trying to find
I love
what
that. You see, I want to see... And I don't want to make comments. I want to see people... what it was, you know. I want other people to say it. For example, when somebody was upset about me questioning the sign there, somebody else should have written, Bob just asked. He wasn't instructing. You know, he wasn't being cued.
Yeah, the response was on a defensive. It went straight to a defensive about you know, the way that you, presentation of the message and how you are anonymous because
that
it's not effective.
But anonymity has its uses, but on the other hand, if you're selling a meme, sometimes, like with our thing, I mean, we spent all this time developing a team that's anonymous, and now we're going to put this out on the on the web where I'm open for people to talk to me. It just depends. See, that's the whole problem with the Soviet approach and the old civil service approach. Things move too fast for that now.
It has. It's been a comment too. Actually, I was talking with CP the other day about how we've. We make the statement that we aren't a group. You know, we're not a group. We're just white normal people, dissidents opposing our genocide. Well, when is it going to become the time that we're going to have to identify as a group?
Well, actually, we do. But again, you don't realize it because it is an evolution. Now, I have spent God knows how many hours watching groups form, try to write a platform, try to write a statement of principles, and about 80 to 90% of the time that was spent in college organization did nothing except try to put together this crap. Well, I think a bugser, I said a while ago, a bugser, you know what a bugser is. Ez knows what a bugser is. And I think it'd be ridiculous for me to sit down and write a description because they're already there. And that's what I am encouraging, that these things develop. And that's hard to explain to people. You're once you get to a certain level, past the seminar, you're supposed to go ahead and take over and do it. And if you need my advice, I'll give you my advice. But now we're all professors, as far as that's concerned, you know. And you know what a bugser is.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I said, you know, it's when mantra thinkers, we have a complete different way that you've taught us to think. And as we've said before, you know, people coming onto the site, if they read the site, they wouldn't know half of what, you know.
Well, you're going to have to demonstrate it to them and explain it, because I'm trying right now to explain it to you. And I think it's getting through. But this is a whole different concept from normal organizations. I want to see it develop. I love to hear people say, well, you'll often say, I was talking to another bugger the other day. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what that means. Ez knows what that means. I know what that means. Nobody could tell you what it means. And that's why I love it, because those things are beyond what you can describe. We're beyond that level. We're like senior management. Again, let me repeat. We write our own job descriptions. And if somebody calls me up and says, I suggest somebody do so-and-so, I say, I suggest you call somebody. You know? Well, it sounds simple, but it took them years to learn why socialism wouldn't work. Not because it wasn't, you know, it was simply because the market does something that's very hard to organize. You know, it's not idealism, it just doesn't work. Trying to describe glass, you know, and how it fits into a worker's quota.
But what I want, they need it, the type of glass in the type of form that they need it in.
Oh, it was hideous. It was hilarious too. But what I want you people to do is just go ahead. You're bugsers now. Now, if I can say that, you're bugsers now. You do it. That's it. Because I can't. There's a lot of things I have no idea about, and you know it. It's funny. Laura probably, as in Laura, you probably know more about what I don't know. I mean, everybody thinks, well, surely Bob knows about that. Bob doesn't know about that. There's no reason he should. You know, this is not my meme. I produced it. Right. I just saying that when you notice when I recounted that the head of staff called up Ashbrook and said, John, do you realize Bob has 3 offices? I enjoyed the hell out of that. Obviously, it made me look like Superman, you know. I'm not that modest, but anyway. But the thing here is, see, we are the first people who ever set up and sold a MEM consciously. And there's 2 parts to that. There's selling it, and then there's figuring out that you sold it. Now, I could not possibly, anybody who wanted to could say, nothing there. Because they don't have a picture of something becoming more and more and more to the surface in our society. That's a picture that nobody before us has ever quite, you know, and we know exactly where to look. That's the other thing I'm proud of it, though. You know, they're not looking for CBS News or some cable network or something, because they know, they realize how novel, what the difference between an argument about race and a flat statement, anti-racist equals anti-white. We know the difference. We know the whole difference. So, and they know where to look. And I see the people here, you know, they're not sitting around saying, oh God, we haven't been mentioned on O'Reilly, you know. And I've heard that all my life, you know. So we have a unique way. We know what we're trying to sell, and we know where to look. We have a picture of this thing bubbling up. None of this show a little pity, if nothing else. Think of all those years when I was trying to explain this to people. And they had another book exposing something. And I would try to explain this to them. And I think if you could put yourself in my place, you can see why I'm lucky to be able to walk around without giggling to myself.
Mm.
But we're doing it. We're the Bugsers, and I want Bugsers to be proud of it.
Mm.
It's a unique achievement. If you're a professional propagandist, you realize that.
Mm.
But if you're not, you don't.
Mm.